Recently, I've read a number of articles that have compared what we've been experiencing during this last year of COVID adjustments to the movie Groundhog Day. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but Bill Murray, he portrays Phil Connors, who's a very cynical TV weatherman. He's covering the annual Groundhog Day event in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And he becomes trapped in this time loop, forcing him to relive February 2nd repeatedly. He awakens every morning at the Cherry Tree Inn to Sonny and Cher's I Got You Babe playing on the old clock radio. It's deja vu over again and again and again. As a matter of fact, the most accurate count of the number of days that Phil Connors spent in his loop is 12,403 days. That is a week short of 34 years. And it's hard to imagine living in the same context, totally stuck in one day for almost 34 years, isn't it? You ever feel stuck? You ever feel paralyzed? Like no matter what you do, you just can't move forward? I think a lot of us have felt that way this last year. Like we've been living the same day over and over and over again. And so as we enter a new year, we're kind of anxious to move forward, aren't we? We want to get going. We don't want 2021 to be like 2020. Of course, as I said earlier, just because the calendar changes doesn't mean our situation has that much. I mean, vaccines are on the way, and the hope that most Americans who want to take the vaccine will be vaccinated by summer, and we'll be able to move forward with our lives in a more ordinary way that we have. So as far as our Groundhog Day, 2021 should look different at some point during the next few months. But my concern today is how do we move forward spiritually? I saw a report the other day by the Barna Research Group, and they revealed findings in the New Sunday Morning paper that they put out. It highlighted trends in church attendance and engagement since the nation's response to COVID-19 began in March of this last year, and social distancing pushed services online. They found that 32% of Christians who were attending before COVID are neither attending in person or participating online in any church service in the last 30 days. The survey went on to reveal that those who have cut themselves off from either in-person worship or online worship are more anxious, more bored, and more weary, and more insecure. When you watch Groundhog Day, you'll see Phil Connors experience the same feelings. So we're going to be talking for the next few weeks about how to move forward, because I think it's meaningful for us because we're starting a new year and we all want to make the best of it. I think it's meaningful because some of us have very much felt stuck and we're a little unsure as to how to get going again. I think it's meaningful because sometimes life can paralyze you. And rather than be ruled by anxiety, weariness, and insecurity, we need to learn how to be guided by hope and renewal and faith, especially as followers of Jesus. I think there was a time when Jesus had these kinds of concerns for his disciples, that they were going to get stuck, that weariness and anxiety and insecurity were going to overtake them. So in John 14, Jesus begins what's known as the farewell discourse. It's teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples immediately after the conclusion of the Last Supper in the upper room. This is the night before his crucifixion. There are other discourses that Jesus gives, but this one's very personal. And this one is motivated because Jesus knows he doesn't have much time left here on earth. And he knows the disciples are going to be filled with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety. He knows that the days ahead are going to be challenging for them, that they're going to feel overwhelmed, that they're going to feel weary and insecure. And so he wants to prepare them for the struggle that they're going to face. He doesn't want them to get stuck. He doesn't want them to be paralyzed by everything that's about to happen to him and to them. And he wants them to stay on mission in the midst of all this, to keep moving forward. So this final discourse begins in chapter 14. But to really understand the tone and the emotion of it, which I think we need to before as we launch into this over the next few weeks, we need to pay attention to the conversation that leads up to it. In John 13, Jesus and his disciples have come into the upper room, and Jesus, when they enter in, Jesus washes their feet. And then after Judas leaves to betray him, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to be with them for only a little while longer, and that where they're going, you know, where he's going, they won't be able to go. So he wants to prepare them for what they need to be doing and what they need to know while he's gone. Verse 34 and 35 of John 13 says this: "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now, you might think that this really wasn't a new commandment at all. I mean, we find loving your neighbor as yourself in the Old Testament. Actually, it's in the book of Leviticus. And Jesus taught this before. You know, they was asked one day about the greatest command, and he said, you know, so love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So what is it that makes this new? Well, here's what makes this commandment to love a new commandment. He says, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Loving one another is not new, but how we love one another is. Love the way I have loved you. Now just think for a moment about the disciples are hearing this right for the very first time. And think about their context for a moment. I mean, they're listening to these words with freshly washed feet. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, had knelt down and humbly washed the dust and the dirt and the grime out from between their toes. And, you know, in those days, they walked everywhere. And so let's just be real. Their feet were nasty, okay? And so, you know, it's not like Peter stopped by the Last Supper on his way home from getting a pedicure. I mean, Jesus had just served them in the most humble way that they knew. And so they hear this instruction, love the way I have loved you. How had he loved them? He loved them with a kind of love that puts others' needs ahead of his own. It's the kind of love that considers others better than yourself. It's the kind of love that doesn't insist on your own way. It's the kind of love that will put the good of a relationship ahead of my own rights. And he says there in verse 35, let me paraphrase it for a moment. If you love one another the way I have loved you, if you do this, if you'll love everyone with humility and putting others before yourselves, that's how they will know, the world will know, that you're my disciples. You love everyone the way I have loved you. Now, for a moment, pay attention to what he doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say like, hey, listen, over there on the table, I've set a bunch of little metal fish, and I want you to stick those on your donkey so everybody, whenever you're going through town, will know that you're my disciples. Or, you know what, I've got a bunch of WWJD bracelets over there, and they're very colorful, and you put one of those on, what would Jesus do? And that's the way they'll know you're my... Or, you know what, we've got a discipleship t-shirt over there that says, I'm a follower of Jesus. Wear the shirt, and people will know that you're my disciples. That's not what he does. Jesus doesn't say, look, everyone's going to know that you're my disciples because of your sound biblical arguments, you know, that you can take the Bible and you can argue on just about anything that you're right. And probably one of the things you guys would do to bless me the most would be to argue over very insignificant things and break up into dozens and dozens of different denominations where you constantly argue and fight with each other. And that's how others will know that you're my followers. Doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say the world will know that you're my followers by your moral superiority and your self-righteous indignation. I want you all to work on what I'm going to call your sigh of disgust. Are you ready? It's like this. Or I want you to work on your look, okay? Like look of judgment. Just kind of narrow your eyes down and turn your head a little cross-eyed like this and just kind of glare at people just a little bit so they feel judged, you know? And I want you to use these things as often as possible. Like when that coworker comes into work, hungover from a party the night before, when someone, you know, dresses immodestly or goes to an inappropriate movie or maybe they say a bad word, then you use that sigh of disgust. And then you cut your eyes and you shake your head. And then people will know that you're my followers because, you know, they'll know that you're morally superior to everyone else. No, that's not what he says. Jesus said, the world will know that you are Christians by the way that you love each other. If you love the way that I love you. And in the middle of all the chaos, in the midst of all the division, in the midst of all the uncertainty and fear, you have the opportunity, he's telling them, to stand out by the way that you love, by loving the way I have loved you. It's not to argue and complain. It's not the way we preach. It's not the way we debate scriptural fine points. But it's not the way that we judge people. But it's the way that we love. We love like Jesus. That is the defining characteristic of what it means to be a follower of mine. And you know, we live in what you often hear referred to as a cancel culture, where shame and guilt just seem to rule the day. But we're not part of the cancel culture as the church. We're part of the cross culture. The cross culture cancels out shame and guilt with love and grace. And we get to demonstrate that on a daily basis. But what does it take to do it? Well, you got to be humble. You got to be willing to wash people's dirty feet. It takes a willingness in these days to put others before yourself and before your rights. I know wearing a mask is such a big deal for people, but it shouldn't be for followers of Jesus because we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's what wearing a mask is all about. I never hear anybody say, well, you know what? I don't want to wear a mask because my neighbor is important to me. Come on. It's never about humility when you don't want to wear a mask or you want to rail against the authorities. It's always about the opposite thing, really, and that's pride. I know that not everyone is happy that the board has decided to be online right now only. But if the county is out of control with COVID cases and the county says that one of the best things we can do for the health of our community is not gather in large groups, then you can't really throw rocks at the leadership team of our church for wanting to put others before ourselves. I'm proud of our church board and their leadership of us in these days. See, our motivation is always love. Even when that's an inconvenience to ourselves, we still want to love. Jesus said, if someone asks you to carry their pack 1 mile, what should you do? Carry it too. The inconvenience is not... We love, even if it's inconvenient. And not only that, as Christians, we're called to humbly and willingly serve and submit to our governing authorities unless we're being asked to do something that's contrary to what God has commanded. Our motivation has to be love, not our rights. In verse 36, Simon Peter responds to Jesus and he says this, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. There's just a lot that the disciples don't understand. They're disappointed that he's leaving. They're disappointed that they can't go with him. And the way forward for them just looks, you know, a lot different than the way they had hoped. You know, they had hoped Jesus was come as the Messiah and all of a sudden, man, they would be ruling with him and he'd set up this earthly kingdom and it would look like other earthly kingdoms. And so now that he says he's going away and they're scared, they're uncertain. They don't know what they're supposed to do now. They don't know where we're supposed to go. And Jesus knows that. He knows they're troubled and scared and unsure. And it's only going to get worse, right? It's only going to get worse because on the cross, he's going to die. They're going to scatter and be afraid for their own lives. He knows all of these things. And so when Jesus looks around the room and he sees them, he sees what I think I often see these days when we've gathered. A lot of fear and insecurity and uncertainty in people's eyes. I mean, that's what's going on right now, isn't it? Isn't it hard for many of us to see how we can move forward when we can't go back to the things that we used to do? How can we get going? How can we continue as a church to follow and fulfill the mission that Jesus has given us in the circumstances that we find ourselves in? Where do we go and what do we do? And that's the context for the words that Jesus is about to speak to his disciples in this farewell discourse to help them get moving in the days that are ahead. Words that they're going to be talking about, that we're going to be talking about this month, for the whole month. This sermon series is for all who feel overwhelmed and uncertain when they think about the future. For all who feel confused and disappointed and discouraged and defeated. For all of you who are troubled, he invites us to listen. For all of us who feel stuck, he wants to give us a way forward, just like he did to his disciples 2,000 years ago. There are some things that Jesus wants to say to you to help us move forward in 2021. And today, I just want to cover one verse of chapter 14. It's the first thing that Jesus says in this discourse. He says in John 14, 1, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Now, when you read that, I don't know about you, but I'm often thinking like, well, here's the thing, Lord. It's not like I want my heart to be troubled, right? It's not like I sat down and said, man, I'm just going to find something to be scared about. Listen, Jesus, I don't want my heart to be troubled either, but my heart is troubled. Look at what's going on around me. So tell me, how do I untrouble my heart? I mean, I'm thinking the best way is for you to fix what's going on. Right? Change my circumstances. Solve the problem. You know, get a vaccine out to everybody. Just answer my prayers. But that's not the way. Jesus says, next, trust in God and trust also in me. That word for trust is the idea of putting your weight onto something. Have you ever had to use crutches? Or maybe a wheelchair? I pulled some ligaments in my feet when I was playing high school football, and I couldn't put any weight on one of my feet, and so I hated the thought of being on crutches, but I needed to let it rest in order to repair, but I didn't want to carry my crutches around school, so it's very inconvenient. So the first day of school, I literally hopped from class to class. The second day of school, I brought the crutches because it was so hard to get around without having something to put my weight on. Belief is what you put your weight on so that you can move forward. What are you putting your weight on in these days? Now, like maybe before COVID hit, you thought you didn't need anything to put your weight on because you believed you could support yourself. I can hold myself up. I can support my weight. I can support my life, my dreams, everything that I want to have happen. And that worked until it didn't. Maybe you leaned your weight on your job and money and financial security or in your career. Don't let your hearts be troubled because your income is high and your portfolio is diverse and the stock market's doing great. And that's sort of the way that you lived. And now all that's changed. Or maybe you put your weight on your marriage or on your family or maybe the other ones that you leaned on them, but it's only a matter of time until maybe they couldn't bear your weight anymore. The pressure that you were putting on them to hold you up becomes too much and those relationships begin to crack. Maybe you put your weight on scientific advancement, like I just thought we'd have a vaccine by now and we'd all have it, or maybe on political solutions in the elections that we recently had. Look, the list could go on and on and on. But the question is, what do you put your weight on today? What do you believe in to support your weight when life is really difficult? Sometimes I don't think we know what we're leaning on until it fails us, right? I mean, I think that's certainly been the case the last few months. You know, I know this, the healthy don't need crutches. So as long as everything's going okay, as long as there's no struggles or challenges, as long as everything's going as planned, then we're fine. But then, man, when adversity hits, And that's what's happened with COVID. I think we've all discovered there are some things in life that we were leaning on. You know, some of us leaned on physical attendance at church. Some of us leaned on hearing someone else read the Word of God to us instead of reading it ourselves. We leaned on physical relationships and going to a small group. And when all that got taken away, we struggled. When the thing we're counting on to support us, to support our life, when life got rough, wasn't there the way that it was before. And when we found out that things we were leaning on other than God, because listen, worship, gathering for worship is so important. And reading God's word, you know, I think preaching is important. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't. I think community groups and other relationships are important. But listen to me, they can become crutches if that is all you have. If that's all you've got, then you're in trouble. Because the thing that God wants us to lean on is Him. The thing that we have to trust in, it's not that the church building is open and it's not that we're having community group, and it's not the thing that we have to trust in and believe in and lean on in these times is Jesus. We have to lean on Him. And boy, have we learned the last few months. Some of you haven't, you know, we haven't, you know, you haven't been back at church since March because of all that's going on, and you've had to learn to develop and trust in Christ and grow your relationship through Him and find new ways to lean on Him. So what are you leaning on? Daniel Gilbert, he's a psychology professor at Harvard University. He wrote an article that says, what you don't know makes you nervous. And he talks about this research they did where they separated volunteers into two groups. And in one group of volunteers, they told them all that they were going to receive 20 intense electric shocks. Now, I don't know who volunteers for that kind of experiment. I have no interest. But they got people to volunteer. We're going to shock you 20 times. And so the second group of volunteers were told that they're only going to get 3 of these intense shocks. But here's the difference between the two groups, besides the number of shocks. The ones who are going to get shocked 20 times know when it's coming. They tell them, like, here it comes. The ones that are getting shocked 3 times, they have no idea. They have no idea when it's going to happen. And what they determined in this experiment is that those who received only 3 shocks actually had more psychological pain. They had more side effects, a rapid heartbeat, more perspiration than those who received the 20 shocks. And the reason is because they didn't know when it was coming. They didn't know what was going to happen. It wasn't about what actually was happening to them. It was about the uncertainty of when it would happen. It's not knowing for certain. Here was his conclusion in the article. He says, and I quote, "Americans are smiling less and worrying more than they were a year ago." This is pre-COVID, by the way. "Happiness is down, sadness is up, we're getting less sleep, we're actually smoking more cigarettes, and depression is on the rise. Why is that the general mood or spirit of the world that we live in today, so depressed and gloomy?" And this is what he says. "It seems to be clear, it's not about finances and it's not about relationships. It's about uncertainty." Wow. I mean, don't you kind of feel like that's part of what slows us down right now? You know, isn't that why a lot of us tend to get stuck? I mean, you almost can't even plan anything these days. I mean, Lou and I have been talking about vacation and where would you go and what would you do? And we just kind of feel like it's hard to plan anything. It seems like, you know, we're all bracing ourselves, wondering if another shock is coming. You know, we realize that people throughout human history have been through much worse than what we're going through. I mean, we realize that. It's not necessarily the shocks. It's that we weren't ready for them. And we don't know when the next shock's going to come. And it just seems to be one thing after the other. And that uncertainty keeps us stuck. And I think it was that way with the disciples. And so Jesus gives them two things. He says, don't let trouble trouble you. Don't let uncertainty make you uncertain. Well, how's that possible, Jesus? Believe in me. That's how. Trust in me. Lean on me. Put your weight on me. And for the disciples, like, you know, they'd been following Jesus everywhere. And they knew they could believe in him, right? Like, they were in the boat when he spoke a word, you know, to the storm and the wind, and the waves obeyed. And they were there when the demons, you know, cowered in fear at the mention of Jesus' names. And, you know, they were there at the grave when Lazarus was dead and buried. And they were witnesses when Jesus called them to come out, and Lazarus walked out of his own grave. So they believed them. So Jesus reminds them, hey, you know me. You can count on me. In this world, you'll have trouble, but don't let your heart be troubled. In this world, there's a lot of uncertainty, but don't let that make you uncertain. Now, you're probably thinking, really, Pastor, trust Jesus is all you got today? Lean on him? I could have preached this sermon. Well, I'm not so much concerned about whether you can preach it as much as you can live it. I know that most of us want to put our weight on something that's a little bit more concrete and a little bit more tangible, something we can see. I believe today that if your heart is troubled, I would just ask you to not, you know, throw away the message today, but to really ask yourself, do I really trust him right now? I mean, if I did, would my heart be so troubled? If perfect love casts out all fear, the Bible says, then maybe fear is taking root. Because I'm not quite leaning on him the way that I need to. Listen, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I mean, I would say all of us have some beliefs that we don't really lean into. Like, most of us would say that a healthy diet's important. You know, I believe that. But if you don't eat a healthy diet, then at some point you have to say, do I really believe that as I'm eating another ice cream sandwich? There's actually a term for this. It's called incongruent values, where we say we believe something, but we don't align our lives to what we believe. And when we do that, when we live that way, it creates, you know, when our life doesn't line up with our values and what we believe, it creates all kind of anxiety and fear in us. The American Heart Association has a pamphlet, and they give you advice, you know, because we have so much stress in our culture about taking care of your heart. And here's a quote from that pamphlet. To relieve stress, examine your values and live by them. The more your actions reflect your beliefs, the better you will feel. Wow. If you trust God, then trust God. Live like it's true, like you can depend on him, like you can count on him. If you're going to lean on him with everything you have. When you feel overwhelmed with concern for your physical health, remember, man, I believe in Jesus and I trust in him. When you're convinced that there's no good outcome in the election and you feel hopeless, just remember that you don't believe in government to save you. You believe in Jesus. When you feel like your financial situation is so insecure and you feel vulnerable and the economy is volatile and your investments aren't doing well and your health is shaky, and remember that you trust in God. You believe in Jesus. We are dependent on him. I lean on him. And what does he say? Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. When you're feeling overwhelmed and you're listening to the news about more cases and more masks and more social distancing and, you know, all the stuff that we hear, remember the scripture. Remember what he says here in John 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. I trust in God. I follow Jesus. I believe that one day there'll be no more sorrow and there'll be no more suffering and there'll be no more pain. I really believe that. I believe that God is the God who goes before me and there's nothing that surprises him. And he's not been caught off guard by anything that's happened to me this last year. And as things are unfolding in the world and in my life, he is still in control. I believe that he will heal, and one day the crippled will walk and the blind will see. I believe that his grace is sufficient and that it's always enough. I believe that he forgives the guilty. He sets the addict free. I believe his love can soften any heart. I believe that Jesus can redeem anything and anybody. I believe that there's nothing so broken that he can't make it beautiful again. I know. There's trouble out there, but I'm not troubled. I know things are uncertain, but I am certain. that Jesus can be trusted, and I am putting my weight on him. How do we start to move forward when life is so hard, so disappointing, when it's such a struggle? We trust in him, not just with words and theory, but practically. We lean on him. We put our weight on him. I want to pray for us today. And as I do, I'm just wondering what you're leaning on today. Well, what are you putting your weight on? Are you trying to do it yourself? Or are you trying to get going all alone? Aren't you tired of leaning on things in this world or even in your own life that can't really be depended on? I invite you today, if you're not a follower of Jesus, to lean on him and trust in him. Ask him to forgive you for your sins and to help you lean on him in the days that are ahead. I want to pray for you today if you're full of fear and anxiety. Wouldn't the day be a good day? Just push it off on him and just say, you know what? Yeah, there's trouble in the world. God, help me to trust you more. Help me to depend on you more. Help me to lean on you. I'm going through things. I'm going through circumstances. I know you know all about it. So I'm putting my hope and my trust in you today. God, help me. Put hope and joy and peace and rest in my heart. May the fruit of the Spirit flourish in me and cast out all fear by filling me with your perfect love. And I believe God today can do an incredible thing in your life. Will you bow your head and pray with me this morning? Oh God, I thank you that you have not left us alone. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that in you we find peace. We find rest. We find hope. That though the world is troubled, we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. Because Jesus, you give us everything we need. And so I pray right now for that one, Father, who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior of their life. They've not trusted in you for the forgiveness of their sins. They've been living trying to be good enough. And they've been living trying to do things their own way and resource themselves. And today they find themselves in a place where they know they need you for the forgiveness of their sins. They need your power in their life to help them move forward. I pray right now as they confess their sin to you, as they repent and turn from doing it their way and lean on you and trust in you today by faith, that you'll forgive their sins and that, Father, they will become a follower of yours and your Spirit will speak to their spirit and they will know they are a child of God. Lord, I pray for those out there today who are full of fear and worry and anxiety. We've been living like it's Groundhog Day. It just seems like it's the same thing over and over and over again. And it just becomes so discouraging and it becomes so hard and we're isolated and we're not able to see each other. We're not able to be in your house right now together. Oh God, today I pray that your love would cast out all fear in their life right now. I pray, God, that you will help them to love each other the way that you have loved them. I pray that you will help them to love you with such abandon, Lord, to lean on you in these days, to trust in you, to know that you've got us, that you're on the throne, that you're in control, and that you've not forgotten about us, but you are right there beside us. You are in us, your Holy Spirit, empowering us to be everything that you want us to be and to do everything that you want us to do. God, we surrender ourselves to you. Forgive us for leaning on other things. Forgive us for leaning, and even when it comes to the things that we do as a disciple of Jesus, forgive us for leaning on just the pattern and of doing those things. Help us to lean on you. God, I want my relationship with you to be fresh. I want to know you like I've never known you before. I want to hear your voice with such clarity like I've never heard it before. God, help me to find a way in the midst of all this to receive your peace, your love, your rest, the same kind of peace and love and rest that you gave to your disciples 2,000 years ago in this passage of scripture we talked about today. Lord, although there may be trouble all around me, God, I pray, keep the trouble out of my heart. I want you to be the king of my life. I lean on you today. And that's how I know I'm going to move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you pray today and ask Christ into your heart to become a follower of his, I'd love for you to message me and let me know. Maybe today there's something in the message that spoke to you, or there's been a burden that you've been carrying. Hey, listen, I would love to get up under you in prayer and be praying for you. Send me an email, send me a message on Facebook, or, you know, if you feel free enough to do that, just leave me a comment below and just let me know what God's doing in your life and what he's saying. Because here's what I know. I know this isn't going to last forever, okay? And we're going to come out on the other side because God's already out there in our future. And he will see you through if you'll lean on him and trust in him in these days. Hey, listen, God bless you. I hope you'll share the service today on social media, or maybe share it with somebody, send them a message, send them a link to it, and tell them that this encouraged you today and you think it will encourage them. And, you know, even in these times, you can bear witness to others. People are looking and they need God, and they need to know that he's on their side and he's working. And so I'd encourage you to send this to somebody today and let them know about it. Hey, God bless you. If you need anything, contact us at the office. Or kind of getting back to normal hours this week around here. And so just let us know how you're doing. And I hope you'll join us next week as we share together in online worship.